welcome to the Hometown Real Estate Heroes Podcast. My name is Mitch Steven, and I am the founder, the sponsor, and sometimes even the host of this podcast. And this podcast is designed specifically to help you achieve your financial freedom, no matter where you have to go to find that independence. Our mission is to help you fire your boss and quit your job so that you can free up 2,600 hours a year to find out who you're supposed to be and to become the person you are supposed to become on this planet. So I invite you to subscribe, like, and share so that you can watch others that are on their way or have already accomplished this financial independence and are well on their way to becoming the person they are supposed to be. If you know of a guest that should be on this podcast, please go to 1000houses.com. That's 1000houses.com/podcast2. That's the number 2, /apply.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Hometown Real Estate Heroes. Today, we are talking with Todd Baldwin, who is the founder of Millennial Investments. This is a website about wealth building for millennials. You can find it at millennial.investments. But we're super excited to have him here today to talk a little bit more about real estate investing and what he's done to build up his business in a way that can help other people understand real estate investing. So welcome to the show, Todd.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for having me on. It is a pleasure to be here. I was so excited to get that invite. So this will be a great episode.
Yeah, I hope so. So first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about how you decided on your business path. So what got you going down this road?
Sure. Great question. So I'll go back to the beginning, but basically I was raised by a single mom, and watching her struggle and grind and all that stuff was just, you know, it was crazy. And she was always worried about finances. So I got my first job at age 12, and it was not a great job. It was literally shoveling manure for $3 an hour, but it was a job. And I came home one day at 12 years old, and I was like, I've got to make millions of dollars. So really, ever since then, when I was 12, I've been on this path. I've started a few businesses in high school, like landscaping. There was also a candy business that I ran because we didn't have candy in our high school. So I saw a much needed need in a market there. And then I ended up going to college at Western Washington University, which is where I met my wife. I did end up dropping out of college to pursue a sales opportunity. And that is where things really took off for me. Maybe about 9 months after leaving school, 8 or 9 months, I was already making about $110,000 a year or so at 22 years old. I pretty much took every penny and decided to buy real estate. So now I am up to 6 houses in the greater Seattle area, and the whole Millennial Investments website was born out of, I was interviewed on CNBC, and the article title of that was Millennial Millionaire or something like that. And that just went viral. So I was like, let's just ride that wave and use Millennial Investments. But anyone can come, no matter how old you are or what generation you belong to.
Very nice. So now you start out, you said you own 6 houses. So do you mostly focus then on single family properties then that you rent out?
Yeah. So this strategy is probably something that nobody does because it's so unorthodox. But what I've done is I buy new construction single family homes, and then I actually rent it out by the bedroom. So in any given house, I have like 6 people living there or more. So what I do is I buy big houses on big lots. I'm in the Seattle area where, you know, a studio apartment can go for like $2,500, no utilities included. So I offer bedrooms for $900. And okay. So folks can rent from me, all utilities are included, and it's a good deal for them because they're saving money on, you know, an apartment, but it's a great deal for me because in any given house, I have 6 to 8 bedrooms getting an average of $900 or $1,000 a pop. So I'm making well over market from each rental property that I have.
Oh, very nice. Okay. So that's kind of a different approach than, like you said, that's not something that we hear a lot about when we're talking about building a real estate business. Most of us talk about like, okay, we're going to get an FHA loan and we're going to get a duplex or a fourplex. And then we're going to live in that for a year while we rent out the other units. And then, you know, and just kind of like go up from there. So what made you think of using this kind of unique model?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it really started when I was 22. I was dating a girl who's now my wife, actually. We met in college. And I was doing really well, even as a college dropout. I was making six figures. She was making great money. And we were going to go live together for the first time. And we saw what studios were going for in Seattle. And we thought, like, we're so blessed and privileged to have these salaries. And even we don't want to spend this type of money on a studio. So other people probably don't either. So we decided to buy a house in sort of maybe like 20 minutes outside of downtown. We built a brand new house. But again, it was just me and my girlfriend at the time, no pets, no kids, not even a plant. So we certainly didn't need all that space. We built like a 3-story house with, you know, it was like 6 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms. It was crazy big. So we lived in the master bedroom. And we decided to rent out all of the remaining bedrooms to our college friends. And in like one weekend, we had all of those rooms leased out. And for us, we were living completely for free in our brand new construction home. So then 9 months later, we decided, you know, let's build another house. So we got a second house 9 months later. And again, I posted an ad to rent them out by the bedroom. And in like 5 days, all 6 of those bedrooms were rented out. And that house was cash flowing about $2,500 a month, which is very rare on a single family home. But when you rent it out by the bedroom, it's so much more lucrative. After that second house, we realized there was like a really big business to this. So over the next 3.5 years or so, we bought 4 more properties. And so we're up to 6 houses now. Where I am recording is actually in a duplex that we own. We no longer live with roommates, but we live in one half of the duplex and we rent out the other half. Mm-hmm. But all of our other rental properties are by the bedroom and the cash flow is absolutely insane.
Wow. So what made you decide to go with new construction properties? Because that's another unique feature here. A lot of the time you don't hear about people buying new construction properties, right? A lot of the time when we're talking about real estate investing, we're like, we're buying old properties and we're going to fix them up and then flip them. So what prompted you? Why new construction?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's probably the most common question that I have. So for me, if I bought a fix and flip, it would be the opportunity cost of the time it would take me to flip, the energy and the money I would spend. Not that buying, you know, like a house that needs work is a bad strategy. It's a great strategy for those that have time. But for me, I was working a sales job where the commissions that I could make from my sales job, if I channel my energy to that, were greater than the profit I would make from flipping a home, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So like I had, just giving you numbers with my sales job, I had a $40,000 day where I got, in addition to my salary, a commission check for 40 grand. I think I netted like 32,000. And that was just because I was just very entrenched in that job. And had I instead taken the time to flip properties, I would have made money here and there, no question, but it wouldn't have been, in my opinion, to the magnitude that I made. I'm a better salesman than carpenter, if that makes sense. So then it made sense for us to buy new construction homes in sort of undervalued areas that were going through a transition for the appreciation, but that way we could live in them immediately. We get them rented out immediately. And I didn't miss out on that opportunity cost of like, you know, if I'm knocking down a wall with a sledgehammer today, that means I'm not meeting with clients and selling. So that was a strategy that I took.
Very nice. So now we talked about a little bit about building that up and kind of going through that, but what were some of the obstacles that you ran into? So as you were putting this together, as you were trying to figure out how to make this work, what were some of the stumbling blocks that you hit as you were moving forward?
Yes, great question. Well, so my whole strategy is based on buying big houses on big lots and then renting out the bedrooms. But there's a complication to that because what if people don't get along? So that's something that we sort of figured out along the way. You know, like there would be sometimes roommates that had conflicting hours or they just didn't get along or they didn't like each other or whatever. So we did a few things to try to mitigate those. So every house, we have a weekly housekeeper and she cleans every house from top to bottom every single week. So that way roommates aren't fighting about mess. The other thing that we found was sort of a pain point and disrupted harmony in the house is if you're always buying the soap and toilet paper or whatever for the bathroom, but your roommate's always using it, eventually it's going to be really annoying to you. So in every house, we supply all houses with toilet paper, paper towels, hand soap, dishwasher soap, Clorox wipes, garbage bags, all the things basically. So those are things that we just decided to do. It's honestly not that much money. Our cash flow is still ridiculous. I mean, we're getting off of 6 properties we own, we're bringing in about $40,000 per month in rent. And these are 6 single family homes. And off of that $40,000, after the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, after all utilities that we pay for, all the supplies, we're netting about $15,000 a month in profit. So it's still, you know, our profit margins are great. But I think, you know, the other thing that I will say that might have been a hurdle is me and my wife being okay with other people in our space, especially Craigslist strangers.
Right.
People looked at us like we were crazy when we were, I believe 25. I'm 28 now, but when we were 25, our net worth had crossed $1 million. We were making over $500,000 a year. And we lived in a house that we owned, but we had 6 roommates. So there were 8 of us in that house after being millionaires, after making $500,000 a year. And my wife and I at the time too were also sharing 1 car. So we were living, incredibly frugal, but it was all in the name of getting the next deal, you know. And by sacrificing all of that, we were able to buy 6 houses in a matter of like 4 years or so.
Yeah. So, but now, like you said, you don't have roommates anymore. You're in the duplex.
Yes. No more roommates.
You solved that problem.
Yes.
Now that's interesting because like you said, you know, when you have people living as roommates rather than in separate apartments, like you said, there's a lot of stuff that can kind of, boil over. And so solving that problem and making it so that things run smoothly in the house is probably a huge part of making sure that your business runs. So I like that idea of providing all of the paper products, making sure that the utilities are covered and all of that stuff, and having the cleaners come in and clean. And then that also makes sure too that your home, the home that you've bought, is also probably remains in as good a condition as possible. Yes.
Absolutely. So the house cleaner is like the greatest thing that we could think of, because it keeps everybody happy. It has harmony in the house, but also I have like my little 007 spy who goes to all the properties once a week, and they can tell me like, you know, hey, a tenant smoking in their bedroom, or, you know, like we have a no pet policy. Like, hey, somebody brought their cousin's ferret in, you know, whatever it is. I have my housekeeper give me a report every single week. So it maintains the asset. It keeps everything fresh and nice. And it's a great value.
Nice. And then do you think that eventually, when you start getting to the point where these homes, so the first house I lived in that I bought, well, the only house that I bought and now I rent, but the first house that I lived in, bought new construction. And by the time we were ready to sell it, it was starting to have issues where we were going to have to like start doing repairs and everything else. So I was actually really glad to like sell it before I had to like, actually pay for any of these repairs. Like, what are your plans with that? Do you think that you'll sell your homes before you get to that point and take some of that appreciation and buy other new construction homes? Or do you think you're going to keep them for a long time?
Yeah. So, you know, my plan was to keep them for the long term, but something really exciting in my area is going on with opportunity zones and multifamily tax exemptions. So I'm actually in the process of selling a couple of my house hacks, if you will. Mm-hmm. I'm in the process of selling them off market to free up some capital for some apartment buildings that I'm looking at. These are 50-unit apartment buildings. I would have to come up with like $1 million or so cash down. So that's why I'm freeing up some capital here and there. It also, you're right, the appreciation on these homes has been insane because we're just outside of Seattle. And I bought the first one in December of 2015. And it's crazy. It's worth $400,000 more than what I paid for it. You know, it's right. Silly not to cash out at that point. So yes, that was a very long-winded response to your question. But yes, we are selling a few. We're selling them off market. I'm basically selling them as these rent by the room houses. So they're completely leased and furnished. And we're using that capital to buy apartment buildings in these really excited up and coming neighborhoods.
Very cool. So that's going to be kind of, is that going to be the next stage of your business is multifamily housing?
Absolutely. Yeah. And specifically, I know this is going to seem weird again. Everything I do is weird, but so we're buying multifamily properties for Section 8, and we're doing it in opportunity zones, which for anyone listening that may not know what an opportunity zone is, there's a couple of different definitions, but here it's basically, if I keep the property for at least, I believe, 10 years, then when I sell it, I won't have to pay any taxes on the capital gain. So basically, if I buy this the building right now is about like $5 million. If I hang on to it for 10 years and then sell it for $7 million, that $2 million gain, I don't have to pay a dime of taxes on, which is incredibly awesome. The other thing is this building is in a multifamily tax exemption zone. So we have a double whammy. And that just basically means for the first 12 years of owning it, I don't have to pay any property taxes. And on a building like this, the property taxes are about 65 to 70 grand a year. So I save myself, you know, 70 grand times 12 years or so. Right. That's a lot of money. It's a seven figure, basically it's a seven figure savings for me if I do it in these zones and then sell it, you know, after the fact.
So this is a fairly small operation, but are there any systems or tools or hacks that you use as you're working to scale up, as you start to get ready, maybe to get this multifamily apartment building? I mean, I think one of the biggest hacks that you have is that house cleaner who can like keep an eye on things for you and take care of stuff. But what other systems do you have to help you grow your business, or are you planning on using as you grow your business?
Yeah. So, the biggest thing for these like rent by the room houses is my wife is very organized and just super like just type A, everything's in a spreadsheet. That is not how I think. But they're not operating anymore, unfortunately, but there are these Amazon buttons. So we had like, we built this like command center where anytime a house was like running low on toilet paper, we could just push a button and it was delivered to their house or whatever. Amazon has since done away with the buttons. So we still have like recurring orders from like Costco or Amazon or whatever. So those are some systems that we put in place. This is going off on a little bit of a tangent, but we did run 3 Airbnbs before the pandemic, and we had that all automated as well with like automatic locks and automatic messaging for the guests that looked like it was coming from my wife, but it was really coming from a robot. So that was pretty cool. But the biggest thing I think is just having a very proactive marketing strategy. So we have 40 rooms across 6 houses that are leased out. And again, we bought our first house December of 2015. And from that day to this, we have never missed a month's rent. We have never even missed a day's rent, actually. Wow. I've literally had somebody move out in the morning and then somebody new move out or move in the afternoon. So just being very proactive with our marketing and our advertising, I think, is a great strategy that we've used to not miss any income. And then because the cash flow is so amazing and the appreciation is so strong, that's what's put us in the position to buy a couple buildings that are, you know, selling for $5 million a piece. So it's all kind of the perfect storm of just working and organizing everything together.
Very nice. Now, as you do get these apartment buildings that have these multifamily unit, like these multifamily housing, are you planning on using like a rental company, like a rental management company to help with that? Or, you're nodding your head yes.
Yes, absolutely. So right now I manage all the single family homes myself because it's very niche by the bedroom. But when we get, you know, the building we're looking at is 50 units, I will have a management company in place. It'll also be all Section 8. So that's another thing we're doing is it makes sense in this area that the government pays the rent for my tenants. It protects me and I don't really care who's paying me as long as I get paid.
Right. Just want that check.
Exactly. Yeah. But yes, to answer your question, we will certainly be using management companies because at that point, it'll just be a little bit beyond the scope of what I am able to do just with my bandwidth and time and all that stuff.
Yeah. And you've already talked a little bit before about making sure that you're focusing your time where it's going to give you the most return on your profit, right? Where you're not flipping houses because that takes up too much time, fixing things up, that takes up too much of your time. And you're more interested in focusing your time where you're going to have the most impact. So can you talk a little bit about that and how you make those determinations?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so I will admit I work in sales. So like the money that I make is in direct proportion to the effort and time that I put in. And so what I figured out a long time ago is, you know, I got pretty handy, as you do when buying houses, but like if one of my rental houses has like a broken sink or whatever, I can go fix the sink and I can take time out of my day. I can roll up my sleeves and I can go do that. Or I could pay a plumber $200. And while the plumber is fixing the sink, I could be on the phone making $2,000. Yeah. So it's just like, it's understanding your value in the marketplace. And if it's more or less than a task you would do. So anything that I think, well, this needs to be done, I ask myself, can I pay somebody less than what I will make in the same amount of time? And just based on the industry that I'm in, the answer is almost always yes. Like, you know, somebody told me like, oh my gosh, you pay a house cleaner. What if you just go clean the house? It's like, you don't understand. Like if I clean the house, first of all, I'm not going to do as good of a job because I'm not great at cleaning. And also while I pay my cleaner a couple $100, I can be setting myself up to make 10 or 15,000. So yeah, it's just, you know, knowing where you're at, if you're a high producer or a low producer. And I don't mean a low producer to knock on anything. It's, you know, if paying a plumber is going to be more expensive than what your time is, then maybe you should go do that. Right. It's just right. Knowing that. And I'm really big on self-awareness. My biggest strength is that I probably know what my weaknesses are. And so I'm very honest and transparent with myself and what I'm able to do.
Very cool. So we talked a little bit about how your wife works with you and kind of helped set up some of these systems for you. Do you have any other friends and family that kind of have influence on your business? And what else does your wife do in the business to kind of keep things going?
Yeah. So my wife is a CPA. She works for a big accounting firm called Deloitte, if anyone is familiar with the Big Four accounting.
I don't know, maybe.
Right. So she thinks in spreadsheets where I think in like stream of consciousness storytelling, as you and all your listeners have found as I ramble on every time you ask me a question. But she thinks in lists. And so she pretty much does all of our like behind the scenes sort of back office stuff, all of our taxes, all of our spreadsheets, figuring out, you know, the accounting and the expenses and the earnings, where I'm more like tenant facing and showing the houses and, you know, solving problems that come up, you know, stuff like that. But I think the reason why my wife and I make a decent team is because we're so different. Like my weaknesses are her strengths, and certainly her weaknesses are my strengths. So having someone that's the opposite is really helpful. And then you asked another question about friends. I wanted friends to come on this real estate journey with me, mm-hmm. and all of them said no. Oh, I don't know if they, yeah, I've been trying to get people to invest in real estate for years. Most of my friends have said no. I was mind blown. You know, I had friends who were just like, oh, you know, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in it. And now they've seen what I've done and they're wanting to get in, but I think I pushed some people away before because I was like, dude, seriously, buy real estate. It's great. You're going to have a ball. And like nobody wanted to. So, well, more for me, I guess.
Nice. So what kind of bad advice? So like when your friends were saying no, or if you talk to family members, like what kind of bad advice did you get from any of them? Did any of them give you some bad advice or?
Yeah, you know, they didn't really give me bad advice, but their reasoning for not buying real estate, I just thought was silly. So for example, I mentioned that I bought real estate about 20 minutes outside of downtown. Mm-hmm. The areas that I bought in were traditionally undervalued areas, but they were going through a transition, which, you know, is why that one house that I bought is worth $400,000 more than what I paid for it just a couple of years ago. But so when I told my friends like, hey, this is what I'm doing and you should do this too, they were like, oh, you know, I want to live in downtown so I can walk to the bars. And I was like, okay, but you're paying like $3,000 a month in rent, not building any equity. And sure, bars are cool, but like, you know, whatever. And it was like that with all of my friends. They're like, no, I want to be able to go to the, you know, walk to the clubs on a Friday and, you know, do this. And that's fine. If that's what makes you happy, that, you know, great. But with my real estate venture, just by buying houses here and there, renting them out by the bedroom, since January of 2016 to today, we've made over $3 million just buying these houses, renting them out by the bedroom, having the value come up and then selling them. And so my friends are now looking around like, dude, bars are cool, but you know what's more cool? $3 million. Like, I wish I had done that. So yeah, it's just, but it's, you know, it's a personal choice, personal preference type thing.
So if you were going to advise somebody who wants to get started in real estate today, what would you advise? Like, what's your number one piece of advice for them to help them get started?
Man, sometimes you just got to take the leap, you know? I think, like, I will say this to people, just speaking directly to the people who are listening or watching, there are people with half of your talent and half of your intelligence who are living the life that you want to live, because while you're waiting for the right time, they're taking action. That's happening right now. So not that you have to be, you know, a daredevil with risk or whatever, but you just, sometimes you just got to go do it. What I will say to anyone who's heard my strategy about renting it out by the bedroom or living in a duplex, I remind people, you have to live somewhere. Like, unless you want to be homeless, you have to live somewhere. So there are really, there are a couple of options you have. You can pay rent to somebody. So you're going to pay off their mortgage. You can pay off your own mortgage, or you can have other people pay off your mortgage for you. So for me, I just thought the thing that makes the most sense is to have other people pay off my mortgage for me. So you can buy a single family or owner occupied home up to 4 units. If you don't want roommates, don't have roommates, but you can buy a duplex, triplex, or a fourplex, live in one unit, rent out the other units, and live for free. And that's, I mean, to me, that's just like a no brainer. So yeah, you just got to do it. Just go out and do it. And you're either going to be paying off your own mortgage or you're going to be paying off somebody else's mortgage. So it might as well be your own.
Yeah, fair enough. That's awesome. Well, real quick, why don't you once again tell us where folks can find you? I believe millennial.investments, but you also have a YouTube channel. Is that correct?
I do. Yeah. So I have a YouTube channel. It's just my name, just Todd Baldwin. And there I teach pretty much everything I know about real estate, specifically by the bedroom real estate. I'm also a credit card enthusiast. So I have all my points and suggested cards. But then if anybody wants to like actually get in contact with me, probably the best way is Instagram. If you want to just DM me at Todd J. Baldwin, I'm usually pretty good about responding in 24 hours. Sometimes, like after a podcast, I get like just blown up and then it takes me a little bit longer. But yeah, usually I'm pretty good about responding to everybody.
Very cool. Well, thank you again so much for joining us. Again, this has been Todd Baldwin, millennial.investments. Go find him on Instagram. Go find him on YouTube, Todd Baldwin. He'll teach you about real estate and this really wild and different kind of way to make money investing in real estate. I love this. I love this. I may have to do that.
Anyway, awesome.
But yeah, so thank you so much for joining us today, Todd.
Thank you for having me on. It was awesome.
Yep. And for the rest of you, we look forward to seeing you next time right here on Hometown Real Estate Heroes.
This is Mitch Stephen, and I would like to thank all the listeners for tuning into the Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please go to 1000houses.com/podcast2/apply. We invite all our listeners to share our Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast. And also, we'd appreciate it if you'd rate and or review our show wherever you listen to your podcast. It would be greatly appreciated. It is our mission to spotlight local real estate entrepreneurs that are killing it in their market, and to highlight their strategies and their personal story. It is our intention to help real estate investors learn and grow. Please be sure to subscribe, because we are sure that you will find very valuable nuggets in our content-driven episodes. This podcast is my way of giving back, and I would like to personally thank all of the Hometown Real Estate Heroes that have participated or that intend to participate. And I'd like to thank all of our listeners and hope that you tune in and share this with your friends and family often. Thank you very much. We're out of here.